Welcome back to Endpoint TV. I'm your host, Ron Jacobs, and today I am looking at a very cool book. It is Applied Architecture Patterns on the Microsoft Platform, and I'm delighted to be joined by two of the five authors. Okay, so this is Rama and Ewan. Welcome, guys, to Endpoint TV.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ron.
Now, this is a really different kind of book. I have to say, you know, when people say, oh, I have a book, I go, yeah, whatever. But this book, I think, is really is very different. Now, you guys have a different perspective on this platform because of what you do. So why don't you tell me what you guys do?
Hey, Ron, I'm Ewan Fairweather. So for the last couple of years, I've been in Redmond. Mm-hmm. And I started out in the BizTalk CAT team. Spent a lot of my time working with customers, with scale-up, and...
What's a CAT team?
So CAT team is customer advisory team.
Okay.
So we're actually part of the engineering team.
Yeah.
And really our charter is to work with the most challenging customers.
Okay.
And actually make those guys successful, but then also bring those lessons learned and make sure we bring them back in a systematic way into the engineering team so we can make the next version of the products successful. So myself and Rama were in what was called the BizTalk CAT team.
Yeah.
And about 18 months ago, we merged and we merged our middle tier and also our SQL product teams. And we got exposure to a lot of technologies like Orinoco, which now became Stream Insight, and caching, which was previously codenamed Velocity. And we came to realize that we needed to understand some of these things and how we could use those with our customers as well. So over time, we brought together five people, and we really put together our thought processes on how we use those technologies with our customers.
Just to add to what Ewan says, right? Mm-hmm. If you look at the way things work at Microsoft, the product group, there are teams that build the product team, the feature PMs, the devs, and the tests.
Right.
Then there is the whole CAD team, the customer advisory team, right? We are still part of the product group, but the focus essentially is to work with customers and get an outside-in view is what I call. Because now you look at the customer and see how he does things, and you know, you take that perspective back to the product team. And I can relate to it because I was a feature PM, just talk RFID, shipped two V1 server products before, and then when I joined the CAD team under Petter, right? So we got this perspective of saying, hey, customer comes in first, look at the challenges that they face, right?
Yeah.
And you get exposed to it, like it happens to you, right, in the part of DPE, and taking that perspective back to the product team as lessons learned. Because end of the day, it's one single team, both of us do the right things, right? The product team and us, that's how the product gets better, right? So our charter, if you look at it, just to add to what he said, one is design wins. Essentially, picking the top customers who are actually stretching the product and making us feel that, hey, these are the learnings that the product can actually get better and ensuring they are successful. And to do this, we do ADRs, architecture design reviews, and then doing the Redmond labs if required, right? Bringing them on site. And it's a very, very close, an 18-month possibly engagement, right? And sometimes it's short and sometimes it's long. But we do this relationship with enterprise customers, ISVs, and so on. The second thing is lessons learned, essentially taking these bugs, right, and making them actionable, right?
Or features, as we like to call them.
Yep. The bug is a bigger, that's right, yes.
That's okay.
Yeah.
No, I think what's interesting about what you guys have done here is that when we work in the product teams, we become specialists. You know, we're like, I often tell people it's like doctors, you know, there's sort of general practitioners, and then there's like a neurosurgeon and a gastroenterologist and urologist or whatever. There's people who understand one system really well, and you don't want to ask them about another one.
Right.
You know, they might know a little bit, but it's not really what they know.
Correct.
And what we find is that it's a necessity, really.
Right.
We have to specialize, but as we get more and more specialized, we know less about other things or the. I think of them like the cracks where problems fall through.
Right, exactly.
You know? So we say, well, I have my thing here, and there's this other product here, but in between there's this space that nobody's really thinking about.
Right. Yeah, you're right, perfectly. And then I think currently Ewan is part of SQL CAD, right? And SQL CAD is a well-known brand, and people are aware of it, right? And what we are doing, trying to do from App Fabric CAT, is trying to do something similar to the mid-tier, right?
Yeah.
And looking at mid-tier technologies like WebF, WebCF, .NET, Stream Insight, App Fabric caching, It's on-prem, cloud, so bringing all this together is what my team does.
So yeah. I think one other thing that's important to make there is what's really challenging is if we found a customer who's gone down a specific route, if they've had an expert on site in one particular technology,
yeah,
and they've kind of bent that technology to fit that particular, you Ooh. Know, the thing that they need to do.
Yeah.
And what's really frustrating is that if that carries on 18, 24 months down the line, it becomes really expensive to change that, right?
Yeah.
It may be a full rewrite. So what we wanted to do is put together the factors that we consider when we look at each of the technologies. Mm. So the decision framework, what do we think of from an organizational perspective? Because if someone has expertise in building and integration systems on BizTalk,
yeah,
and they've spent 5 or 6 years doing that, that obviously weighs more in there. You know, they're going to want to carry on building on that technology. If they've got expertise in caching, for instance, if they've been on the TAP program with Rama, that's a factor. But we've also got to think about what does the actual technology do.
Right.
If you want to process 10,000 events a second, you know, that's more a Stream Insight thing than a BizTalk thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And if you try and do it with BizTalk, you may end up with a bad experience. And it's not that the Microsoft is... It's not that that product is bad, it's just that it wasn't intended for use in that yeah. scenario. So we really wanted to bring as much of that as we could and really scale out some of our experiences so that people can learn from, you know, those experiences rather than having to feel the pain right. which we felt ourselves.
Yeah. And even the, yeah, and even the pattern itself, right? BizTalk is trying to solve an integration kind of pattern, right?
Right.
And then when people think about the paradigm, hey, I wanted to do a bunch of events, it's a mm-hmm. different right tool for the right problem, right? So that's essentially the message. And to me, this was my first book, right?
Yeah.
So the way it came along is, Yuen has written a book before. He's done BizTalk Server, I think, 2006. I forget the name again. I mean, it's a top-selling book. And this guy comes and tells me, do you want to write a book? And I said, yeah, why not, right? And then we get along. Richard Serrett is a well-known name in the community. Stephen Thomas is, again, an MVP in BizTalk Server.
Right.
And then Mike Sexton is one of the other people who came on board, one of the co-authors as well. And he has deep expertise in databases, comes from Avanade, right? And it is so interesting how the conversation started 18 months back, right? I think Yuen had already spoken with Richard, figured out that this book has to be different, like you rightly said.
Yeah.
It can't be a book which says, hey, here is book, it talks about foo, and you go boom, 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 boom. No,
yeah, yeah.
Right? He said, if we put ourselves as the reader of the book, what would we like to see in a book?
Yeah. Right?
So saying that, hey, let's make up a use case and saying that this is this company and it's going through these kind of requirements and what are their options? What would an architect think about, right, as problems, challenges, right? Mm. And then walk him through a thought process, which is what Yuen was alluding to, saying we have a decision framework, right?
Okay, so let's talk about this sure. decision framework. Because this is very interesting. You know, I find that a lot of customers, this is the first point where they struggle. They look at all of these Microsoft technologies and they say, well, some of them do very similar things. I'm not sure which one to choose. They come and talk to me and I'm like, well, you should use Workflow or right. WCF, but I don't know anything about, I've said this before, right. I don't know anything about BizTalk. I know nothing about Stream Insight. Right. So I'm not equipped to really help you make that decision. Now, if you already decided you want to use WCF or Workflow, I'm great at that.
Right.
But when it comes to making this decision, tell me about, you have this framework for making decisions.
So basically what happened is the five of us sat down together and we were putting together the approach for the book. And we talked about the factors that we all use to make decisions. And what we found is that through various conversations that we had is that there were common factors that we used. We'd think about the organization, we'd think about the technology, we'd think about a number of different things, and we'd weigh each of those in our mind. So what we did is we actually wrote that all down on a paper. And then what we did is throughout the rest of the book, as Rama has said, when we're evaluating each pattern, we weigh off the two nearest matching technologies against it. So for instance, for simple workflow, we weigh off BizTalk versus App Fabric, you know, mm-hmm. workflow. And we talk about what are the, why would you want to use BizTalk? Why would you want to use App Fabric? When would App Fabric make sense? When would BizTalk make sense? And in this case, with this organization, App Fabric made sense. But the idea is that it allows, you know, people to think about, hey, if my organization was slightly different, actually BizTalk may be a valid choice in that scenario.
Yep.
And what's really cool about this is that your solution framework takes into account some things that we typically don't think about. Like, you know, one of the things I noticed in here is after you kind of have your typical functional requirements, non-functional requirements, and derived requirements, You have organization direction, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. which is like you said. I mean, there might be a case where, given the same set of requirements, one organization would choose this, another organization would choose that, and both could be right. The solution could be fine, but it just is a matter of the direction.
Yeah, and I think, you know, if you look at, there's two types of customers that I tend to work with. There's a customer that wants to have a project and they want to buy in a solution to a particular problem. And there's another customer who typically wants to build a capability to build on a specific area. Mm. So Scandia is an example of a customer who I've worked with on their internet bank, who have built a capability over the last 6-7 years on building complex BizTalk solutions.
Yeah.
So BizTalk is going to be, because they have that expertise and they know how to manage it, they know how to deploy it, they know how to maintain low cost of TCO and do all of those things, that's going to weigh very much in their favor. In the same way, like customers that Rama has worked with for Velocity, if they...
So just to add to that stuff, right, the whole decision framework itself, if we had to go through what all we discuss, it'll be a separate book by itself.
Yeah, right.
So what we said was we'll take a flavor, a subset of that conversation, and Richard actually says in the chapter, saying that we didn't try to be comprehensive. It's just a thought process that you would apply, right? We might have missed something that is critical, but that's okay. You would add it to it, right? But what happens is once you decide on that criteria, be it right or wrong, based on your organization, mm-hmm. you start applying to the technology, then you might go in a different direction, and that's still okay, right? As long as you understand what it really means, right?
Yeah. So I noticed also you take into consideration both design, delivery and operations. And so many times us software guys, we all are about the design and we don't care about anything beyond that. And the poor guys that have to run it or deliver, and you know, it's much tougher for them. But this is another really important consideration.
Yeah, one reason is because we touch on a bunch of V1 products in this book, right?
Mm-hmm.
We talk about Stream Insight, we talk about App Fabric caching, we talk about Windows Azure, SQL Azure, right? And Windows Azure App Fabric, which is V1, Service Bus, Access Control, and so on. Mm. And some of the V1 products may not have all the bells and whistles that you would expect, right?
Right.
And we do improve, and we are nimble, we do this, we have done this repeatedly before. But it's good to think about that and stay okay, because we know how friendly the developers and the operations guys are in typical companies.
Right.
Right. So it's good to think about both, because we touch both as a company as well, right? And we interact with all these folks. Mm. So knowing about monitoring, troubleshooting, diagnostics is equally or probably even more important than the whole developer support with tools like Visual Studio and so on.
Ah. So then the next thing in the book I notice is that you have a set of primers or primer. I'm not sure which way you say that. But they're, you know, just kind of introductory chapters, like what does this technology do? You know, what would be some typical use cases for it? And I think that's super valuable because there many times is overlap, but it's really important to understand the sweet spot, isn't it?
So the thing is this, right? We didn't want to write primer chapters, right? We said if you do this, we'll be like any other book.
Right.
So we wrote the patterns, we thought about patterns. Then we said, what if somebody doesn't understand this technology?
Yeah.
Then we really need a primer chapter. So the primer chapter was driven because the pattern needed to set that context, right?
Yeah.
And that's how we said we will do this, and then we went back and said, well, here are the primer chapters, and this is what we will cover, and this is why we cover, right? So,
I like this. For example, in the chapter on SQL Server and data integration tools, you say, a very basic and completely insufficient introduction to data integration.
And I think that's a really key point to make, right? This is not going to replace the level 400 and 500 books on a specific technology, right?
Right.
You absolutely still want to have an Inside SQL Server book or a dedicated App Fabric book on your bookshelf, right?
Yeah.
This is a book that, if I'm looking at a new technology and I'm thinking about whether it's a fit for me, so like caching, for instance, and I want to know what I can use it for, understand some of the capabilities of it, the fact that it's an explicit cache in, you know, V1, the fact that I can get session state for free, you know, with ASP.NET with a simple config file change, then it's the book for you, right?
Right.
It's very much the starting of a journey rather than the end in itself.
And even the caching primer, just to add, right, it talks about how it internally works, what is the high availability feature, what are partitions, and what is the whole load balancing, because you need to understand this as an architect to really say, okay, this is a scale-out architecture, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it builds on some of the concepts that the cloud uses today, what SQL Azure can do, right? And once they understand that piece, now they're more comfortable saying, okay, now I can go and say where I can actually deploy it and how I can use this as well. So that's why the primer was not meant for somebody to just use the primer chapter and learn it completely, but it will definitely, if you read over a flight journey, right, from going from here to San Francisco and so on, in those 2 hours, it'll give you a reasonable depth where you get the whole thing, you could put it together.
Right, right. Yeah. So you get it gives you a good overview of these technologies, kind of some thoughts about where they belong. Correct. Then you've got some chapters where you dive into particular patterns. And so, like, I'm just looking here at chapter 9, because it caught my eye, is publish, subscribe. Yeah. And I've heard lots of people say, like, I really want to have some kind of publish, subscribe framework. Mm-hmm. And there's three choices. So I like what you did here. First of all, you talk about the use case. So you get some requirements and facts out on the table. And this is probably based on some of your real experiences with customers, right? And then, so once you've got the pattern described, then you say, okay, here's some candidate architectures, which I like that because there's a lot of uncertainty whenever you approach a problem like this. You say, well, there's two or three ways we could solve this. Sometimes there's overlap in the Microsoft stack as which one you might want to use. And then you dive into each of the... You use your decision framework over each candidate architecture, right?
Right. Mm-hmm.
So, Yuan, tell me about that. How does that work in publish, subscribe? So you have three choices. You have Azure Platform App Fabric Service Bus, BizTalk Server, or SQL Service Broker.
So basically, this is a chapter that Richard did. Really what Richard did was look at, for each of those technologies, does the technology meet my requirements? If I want to do publish, subscribe, is it really easy to do that on Azure today? Do I want to deploy this technology on-premise or in the cloud, right? Those are fundamental questions to ask, right? Not just is the technology capable of doing it, does the organization actually want to deploy into the cloud or do they want to do it on-premise, right?
Right.
Because if they only want to do on-premise, then, we're down to two options, right? BizTalk or, App Fabric. Once you've made that decision, it's then really a trade-off between what does the product do natively out of the box and what would we have to build ourselves, right? Mm. So if you look at BizTalk versus App Fabric as it is today...
Or Service Broker, other choice here, right?
Yeah, if you want to do BizTalk or Service Broker, then, BizTalk for true pub-sub messaging is probably, we have, endpoint management, you can create subscriptions, you can do all types of complicated pub-sub scenarios in BizTalk today, which you may be able to implement within Service Broker, but, BizTalk is probably a better fit. And actually following this framework through to conclusion actually allowed us to get to that.
And the truth is somebody might say, you know what, that's not really true. It's not BizTalk, it's not PubSub, right? And then you've got to really ask them, what are your requirements?
Yeah.
And then what do we have today, right? Because you're picking a set of technologies and making those decisions, right? And things are getting, as we go along, right, the whole what Microsoft brings along might solve some of the other problems, and then it just becomes one more candidate, and maybe that candidate will pop up to the top, right?
I think in a couple of years, you guys are going to have to rewrite this book there's going to be a whole new wave of stuff that comes and the pictures will change about what's possible.
It's almost like a framework, right? The pattern is not going to change. Somebody is going to say, true PubSub. It's not true PubSub. PubSub really means doing 10,000 subscriptions. I can have like hundreds of topics, right?
Sure.
But then you really ask, does it fit you, right? Because it's each person's solution. It's each person's timelines, right? I need to do this within the next 3 months because my CIO wants it, right?
Sure.
And then you weigh all those factors in and say, I already have license of BizTalk on-prem or in my enterprise.
Yeah.
So I need to use it as well. So you put all these factors in and then you make a call. But you also understand that this is where the product does really well, and maybe this is where it needs some tweaks, and the book tries to lead you in the direction. And we wanted to actually say we will do it, and we'll show the implementation via code. So that's the other part you would notice in each pattern chapter, that there's actually an implementation available as well.
Yeah, and you actually walk people through the whole implementation. Yeah. I imagine you have the code on the web and that kind of thing. Now, and of course, the other thing you'd mentioned was the idea of the organization sometimes want to build a capability or maybe build on a capability they've already got. So, like you said, somebody's got BizTalk. Very often, people ask me, should I use Workflow for this or BizTalk for this? And I ask them, well, do you already have BizTalk? Do you know how BizTalk works? And if they're like, yeah, we have BizTalk, we love it, we use it all the time, we say, well, you should probably just use BizTalk for that because it'll be easier for you. If somebody says, well, no, I've never used BizTalk, and I'd say, well, you might want to try it with App Fabric and Workflow first because, there's a substantial investment to get started up with BizTalk.
Right.
I think like with the service broker, is really interesting because it's a very cool technology. Mm-hmm. And it has some really devoted fans. People mm-hmm. really love Service mm-hmm. Broker, and it's super high scale. Mm-hmm. And maybe they've invested in a capability around Service Broker, and they might go, yeah, that's a no-brainer. We're going to do PubSub with Service Broker.
Yeah.
But if you haven't ever done it, maybe it's not the right choice.
Yeah, and I think also when you look at a new technology that I'm going to embrace, I think it's important to think about what are the benefits that I'm going to get today and what am I going to get when I build on this technology. Like caching is a really good mm-hmm. example of that. Mm-hmm. Today, before caching, people really have two options for session state. They either store it locally on the individual web server or they use the session state provider which stores it within SQL Server. So they have an ASP.NET session state database. And really we see problems with that. If you use a local approach, we get the sticky routing scenario.
Yeah.
And if we store it in SQL, now I have to have it on a database. My database may become hot. It's using up resources that I can use for something that really requires, transactional semantics and, storing my, messaging information, for instance. With caching today, and Rama can, expand more, if you deploy caching in your environment, you can actually just with simple config file change, actually take that pain away from that and remove that sticky routing scenario and actually have a caching tier which stores a session state. Mm. And then over time, the things that Rama talks about in the chapter is you can actually build on that and start to store more and more information within the cache. Things that don't really need to go in the database because you don't really need them to be fully durable.
Yep.
Or you may just need to cache them. Things like pictures, reference data, activity data.
Very right. Because typically, I do the same thing as well. When customers say I need caching, I say, why do you want caching? Right. Mm. So I need to know your problem and see if it really solves it for you. Because one thing that there's a misconception that a cache replaces a database, and I say no.
Right?
I think we have had the discussion several times with customers on the same consult too. Because the idea, I had a session at SQL Pass, primarily to drive this thing in where you use SQL Server for particular reasons, right?
Yeah.
Does really well for transactions, you need durability, the fact that you can get rich querying and so on. But a cache can really help you because it can really help you scale, right? Because I told you, we have a simple demo going, right, about a typical hotel search kind of scenario. Mm-hmm. I have a hotel object, I have reviews going on the hotel object, my friends can provide their reviews, and it gives the picture, the location, right?
Yeah.
And ultimately, your data model is going to be very different. I have a reviews table, I have a hotels table, I have a locations table, you run a join against all these tables, you construct this particular object. Now, do you want to do this repeatedly when 10,000 people are pounding your website? Probably not.
Yeah,
and then you take this particular thing and throw it into cache. And like what Ewan was saying, caching is not new. And I know it. Web, I have a web server. I have ASP.NET already doing caching. I said, yeah, you're right. But what happens if you want to cache a lot more? Right?
Yeah.
Can I just add these servers at runtime? Is it elastic, right? The notion of bringing a scale-out architecture is what AppFabric Cache, or known as Velocity before, does for you. And very, very different, right?
Yeah.
And it's built on cloud technologies in some ways for the first on-prem product.
Yeah.
And we just also announced that this is going to the cloud. We don't have... Well, we are on the cloud already on cache. Unfortunately, the book came out before it, so I couldn't write about it. Yeah.
So, that's one of the interesting things about this book is it touches, both AppFabric, BizTalk, and SQL, but then it also touches Windows Azure, Stream Insight you mentioned, which is a very interesting... let's talk about the complex event processing, mm-hmm. because this one is really interesting to me also. Mm-hmm. So tell me about what is complex event processing?
Okay. So just the paradigm itself, right? People mm-hmm. are used to the fact that, my data resides in this big database. I need to run my queries and I got to get back data, be it a data warehouse or let's say rich OLTP with high throughput and so on, right?
Mm-hmm.
That works for a particular kind of workload and performance characteristics. The moment you start getting into processing events in the order of, say, 10,000, 20,000, 100,000, 1 million events, right, per second or per minute, right?
Yeah.
And you add a temporal aspect to it where you have a window mm-hmm. and this window slides. What it really means is, let's say I'm doing online advertising, right? And now I want to look at user clicks. There are maybe a million users clicking on this particular website, and I need to know every 20 seconds which particular ads are they touching. because okay. I want to provide it to my advertisers, right? Now you have a sliding window that's going to just keep rolling, right?
Yeah.
And now technology, that's not how typical databases and so on are built, right?
Yeah.
Because this temporal aspect is making it more complex. The volume of events is making it even more complex. So that's where a technology like complex event processing will help, right? And there's been several players out who have been doing it, right? It's not the first time. But Stream Insight is Microsoft's offering for complex event processing, and I think we're doing really well on it.
Yeah, so, you know, what's interesting about this is that, you know, if you're not familiar with Stream Insight, you might try something, you know, in your development environment. Hey, this works okay, mm-hmm. you know. We'll just write some things in the database, run some queries over it. This works okay. And you're dealing with, you know, a few thousand rows maybe or something like that. And you think, ah, this is great. And then you put it out there and, wow, when it gets millions of records, it starts falling over badly. And then you don't get, then you're in real trouble, right? Yep. So that's where it's really valuable to get this kind of information up front.
We actually have a buddy on our team, right? Same AppFabric cat, Mark Sims. He is into Stream Insight, and if you get him in, I think he's been doing some of the, even the PDC stuff.
Yeah.
I think there are some interesting things that we have done along with Stream Insight.
Wow. Well, this is really a great great book. I think people are going to, you know, you might be tempted. They'll look at this and go, like, applied architecture. It doesn't say any product names, right? It doesn't say this talk, sequels. AppFabric. So, you know, I think some people might go, well, I'm not sure I want that. Dude, you want this book because it's really good information to help you make the right choice, choose the right tool for the right job. I really like that. So thanks, you guys, for joining me today.
Thank you, Ron.
Thank you, Ron.
All right, and we'll see you next time on Endpoint TV.